continue to focus on God's Word. And this morning's passage is in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 18, and it goes all the way to chapter 11, verse 10. Okay? And this is what it says. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? At the first, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who sought me not. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Chapter 11. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed thy prophets. They have torn down thine altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, then, there also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. What then? That which Israel is seeking for, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not. Down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened to see not and bend their backs forever. Okay, this morning's passage is titled, God has given them eyes that would not see the glory of Jesus Christ. Key word, not. Okay, Pastor Richard.
Thank you, Carrie. Good morning. Great to see all of you here. Or out there, if you are out there. We have been talking these past few weeks, since we started in Romans chapter 9, about the reality that Jesus came, the first coming. He came to save his people, and yet his people rejected him. The Jews, the chosen people of God, who remain the chosen people of God, failed to see that Jesus Christ was indeed their Messiah. And even to this day, they still, most of them, fail to recognize Jesus Christ as their Messiah and Lord. This is a reality that Paul says brings him great sorrow and unceasing anguish. He says it is his heart's desire and prayer that they would be saved, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. But because of God's judgment on the Jews and having them reject their Messiah, we as Gentiles have been blessed with a chance to see who Jesus is and to see his glory. Of course, not all Gentiles will believe either, but many millions of Gentiles have believed since Jesus' coming. And that is us. Even though I do have a partly Jewish background, I am also a Gentile. And we have been blessed by being able to see the covenant, the God's salvation covenant, extended to us as Gentiles, so that we might know our God, the God both of Jew and Gentile, and see Christ, his Son, in his glory, so that we might repent and put our trust in him as our Lord and Savior. But let's see what Paul has to say today about the judgment of the Jews. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, we thank you, Father, that you have revealed to us your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, you have shown his glory to us. Father, you have given us eyes that can see his glory, that can see how precious and how much of a treasure he is for us, Father. But during this time, since the first coming, you have passed over the Jews, Father, for the most part, and you have not been saving many of them, Father. And yet they were your chosen people for most of history and continue to be your chosen people. So what has happened, Father? Why are they not all elect? Father, help us to see today how this tragedy occurred, Father, so that we might not have the same tragedy occur to us, Father, that as Gentiles, some of us might reject Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior that he is for everyone, if they will just believe. In Jesus' name, amen. So we start up in Romans 10, 18. We have just completed the verses that we're talking about how the message of the gospel must go out to the nations. It must go out to our friends, our neighbors, our families. And that message must be carried by the church in order for people to hear it. They need to know what Jesus Christ has done, what he has said, what God has said we must do in order to be saved. But now Paul takes up the question, has Israel heard this message? Or maybe they have an excuse. Maybe they didn't hear it. And if they can't hear it, then how could they be expected to believe? Romans 10:18 says, "But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Last time we looked at how beautiful the feet are of those who carry the good news of Christ's gospel to the world. Here in verse 18, we see that Israel has indeed heard the message of the gospel, at least verbally, as it has gone out to all the earth and even to the end of the world. Which brings us to point number one. God has made the message of the gospel clear to his people Israel by sending the church throughout the earth to proclaim the work of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. Point number one. God has made the message of the gospel clear to his people Israel by sending the church throughout the earth to proclaim the work of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. So the message has gone out to the ends of the earth. And the message has been proclaimed that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all who will believe in him. So Paul takes up the next question. Maybe they didn't understand the message. Romans 10:19 says, "But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, 'I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry.'" Paul asks if Israel truly understands the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. He answers that Moses said, even back in the Old Testament messages, that Israel understood well enough that the Gentiles were claiming to believe in the Jewish Messiah. And not only did these Jews feel a sort of jealousy, a negative jealousy, that Paul and the apostles were proclaiming the message of the gospel to the Gentile nations, but they also became angry as the messengers of the gospel claimed that Israel was being passed over for salvation while the Gentiles were receiving it. Instead of feeling a good jealousy, a positive jealousy, and wanting to take part in the belief in their Messiah, the Jews got angry and said, you are not saying the truth. This is not our Messiah, they said of Jesus. Romans 10, verses 20 and 21 goes on. "Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, 'I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me.' But of Israel, he says, 'All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.'" While the Jews continue to reject Jesus as their Messiah, the Gentiles who had never sought God before in salvation history are the very ones who are now finding God. Although the Gentiles had never prayed to God, asking for his glory, they are the ones to whom God is revealing himself in this church age. Point number two. Christ, who has always been God of both Jew and Gentile, is now being worshipped as the God of the Gentiles, while God the Father is reaching out all day long to the Jews who disobey and reject his son, Jesus. Point number two. Jesus Christ, who has always been God of both Jew and Gentile, is now being worshipped as the God of the Gentiles, while God the Father is reaching out all day long to the Jews who disobey and reject his son, Jesus. He's saying to his people, "Israel, Israel, you are my chosen people. Why are you rejecting my son, Jesus Christ?" And Jesus told many parables during his time on earth the first time about how God sent his son, and yet the people rejected him. They rejected him. Romans 11, verses 1 and 2 goes on. "I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means." And we know what this means. We've talked about this before. by no means is megeneta in the Greek. It means by no means, may it never be, impossible, no way. Such a thing cannot happen. It is the strongest Greek negative phrase to say that something cannot be true, that it is a lie if we believe it. So Paul says that God has not rejected his people. He goes on, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Paul here at the beginning of Romans chapter 11 makes his third plea for the salvation of the Jewish people. We will remember in Romans chapter 9 that Paul, we saw his great sorrow and unceasing anguish for the Jewish people. He would even have given up his own salvation if he could just see the salvation of his brothers and sisters in the flesh, the Jewish people. And we're called on to feel that great sorrow and unceasing anguish for the lost in general and for the Jews. And in chapter 10, we saw that Paul's heart's desire and his prayer was to God that the Jews might be saved. And we too will join in that heart's desire and prayer that the Jews and also by extension all the unsaved people in our lives might know Jesus Christ and be saved. And here in Romans chapter 11, Paul asks if God has rejected his people. And he says no, because I am a Jew, Paul says. And if I am a Jew, then God has saved at least me. So he hasn't rejected his people. Point number 3. Paul argues that God has not rejected his people because Paul himself is a Jew. And he has been saved along with a relatively small group of others. Point number 3. Paul argues that God has not rejected his people because Paul himself is a Jew, and he has been saved, along with a relatively small group of other Jews. Romans 11, verses 2 and 3 goes on. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Elijah said, Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. In the book of 1 Kings, Elijah had seen the whole nation of Israel forsake their God and turn away from his ministry. I'll quote from 1 Kings 19:10, where this text is quoted from in Romans. Elijah said to the Lord, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. With his limited vision, Elijah saw not a single other Jew who was faithful to their God. Romans 11:4 tells us, but what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Point number 4. Even though Elijah could not see them right away, God had kept 7,000 men from the Jews that were part of his elect and had not forsaken him. Point number four. Even though Elijah could not see them right away, God had kept 7,000 men from the Jews that were part of his elect and had not forsaken him. Can you imagine? Israel was known as a nation that populated millions. But here in 1 Kings, we see that God had kept just 7,000 Jews who were faithful and Elijah. How sad it is to think of all of those other Jews who had rebelled against God and forsook him. So too today we see very few Jewish people coming to Christ, rejecting Jesus. And what a sad reality that is. It should be our heart's desire and prayer, as Paul says, that we would see them saved, along with our families and our neighbors and the people we see each day when we go out to the supermarkets and the restaurants and all of these people who don't know Jesus. God does keep an elect group at all times of Jewish people. But wouldn't it be amazing if the whole nation came to faith? And that is indeed coming, as we read in our call to worship today. There is a day coming when God will call the whole nation, the living nation of Israel, to himself, and all shall be saved. But that will mark the end of the era of salvation for the Gentiles. So we must be wise and be proclaiming the gospel now so that as many of the Gentiles as possible and some Jews in this church age would come into the church and be saved and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Romans 11, verses 5 and 6. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant. A remnant meaning a small group that is left over. That's what remnant means. Chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. So there is an elect group or a chosen group. The two words mean the same. So when it says chosen by grace, it means elected by grace. The translation here in verse 6 is better rendered, as it does in the New International Version. But if it is by grace, then it cannot be on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. So salvation by grace precludes the possibility that salvation can be by works. Because it can't be by works. Because we cannot obey the law of God perfectly. Yet someone did. Jesus became a man. And he lived a perfect, righteous life. Never once sinning against God. Not even for one moment. And when we trust in Christ for his righteousness, his perfect righteousness, that righteousness becomes our own righteousness. And then he went to the cross, and on the cross he took the punishment that we deserve. Because we have sinned against God, an infinite God, we deserve an infinite punishment, which means we deserve hell forever and ever. Yet when we trust in Christ, he goes to the cross and he takes that punishment of hell on himself in just a few hours, that eternal punishment on himself in just a few hours, so that when we trust in him, we don't have to receive that punishment any longer. He took it in our place. Then Christ rose again on the third day after dying, so that we might have new spiritual life by trusting in him, and new physical life in the world to come. So we must repent of our sins, turn from our sins, because we are sinners, and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is our only hope of salvation, because by works we cannot earn it, because we always fail to have a perfect righteousness like Christ does. Point number five. Even today, as part of the church, there is an elect remnant of the Jewish people who have come to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jews and Gentiles together have received salvation by grace. Point number five. Even today, as part of the church, there is an elect remnant of the Jewish people who have come to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jews and Gentiles together have received salvation by grace. Romans 11, verses 7 and 8. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see, and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. Paul asks, what conclusion can we make from these things? The conclusion is, Israel has failed to obtain the salvation that they were seeking. They wanted to be saved, but they wanted to do it by works. But they failed because they could not perfectly obey God's law. And instead of softened hearts, God hardened their hearts. Point number six. Was God passive in the hardening of the non-elect Jews? Verse 8 tells us that this is not the case. It says, God gave them a spirit of stupor. He gave them eyes that would not see. He gave them ears that would not hear, even down to this very day. Point number six. Was God passive in the hardening of the non-elect Jews? Verse 8 tells us that this is not the case. God gave them a spirit of stupor. He gave them eyes that would not see. He gave them ears that would not hear, even down to this very day. They could not see his glory because God gave them eyes that could not see it. They could not truly hear and understand the message of the gospel because God gave them ears that would not hear. He gave them a spirit of stupor. Basically, stupor, the root word there is stupid. He made them stupid so that they could not accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Does the word say these same things in other places? Yes, it does. Isaiah 6, verses 8 through 13, the calling of Isaiah to be the prophet to the Jews. It says in verses 8 through 13, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And God said, go and say this to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. This is God's judgment on Israel. Then I said, this is Isaiah, how long, O Lord? And God said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. Oh, how terrible the judgment of God. Terrible. We don't want to see this for anyone. We don't want to see this judgment fall on anyone. Yet this is the judgment of God for his people, Israel, who have rejected him. Romans 11, verses 9 and 10 concludes the passage. And David says, this is David in the Psalms, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. This is Psalm 69. And David is talking about the ones who have, the members of his people who have rejected their God. And this is the judgment he proclaims on them. But why quote Psalm 69 here? You know, what is Paul trying to say with Psalm 69? Well, we see that Psalm 69 is prophesying about the cross of Jesus Christ. This is looking forward, Psalm 69, to what happens to Jesus and the judgment that results in those who reject Jesus. How do I know this? Well, let's look at Psalm 69, verses 20 to 24, where this is quoted from. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. This is talking from the perspective of Jesus. We know this, it goes on. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. All four of the Gospels of Jesus Christ in the New Testament mention this sour wine that Jesus was given to drink. So here we are in this passage, the one that Paul is quoting in Romans 11, and we see it to be prophetic of what was happening to Jesus. So it goes on, and this is the part that's quoted. Let their own table before them become a snare. And when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Trembling. They should tremble before the judgment that they're facing because they're giving Jesus sour wine to drink because they are rejecting him. It says in verse 24, pour out your indignation upon them and let your burning anger overtake them. Because Jesus is not taking that indignation for them because they are rejecting him and not believing in him and thus will not be saved. Jesus Christ experienced the condemnation of the Jews as they crucified him, and so the cross was the ultimate rejection of Jesus Christ's glory and his rightful place as the King of the Jews and their Messiah. Three points of application. Number one, let us continue to have great sorrow and unceasing anguish about the terrible fate of most Jews since the first coming of Jesus Christ, as Paul did. Number one, let us continue to have great sorrow unceasing anguish about the terrible fate of most Jews since the first coming of Jesus Christ. Most of them have died unto judgment without believing in their Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us not be okay with that. Let's look at the opportunities we have now to share the gospel with them now, to share the gospel with our unsaved families, friends, and other people now. Through this great sorrow and unceasing anguish, let us reach out to them and tell them about Jesus Christ, because he is their only hope of avoiding this eternal judgment, which is real, which is real, which is real. Hell is real, and people will suffer there for all eternity. And we have an opportunity to do something about that by sharing the gospel with people around us. As I said in application number two, as we mourn the tragic loss of so many Jews to the wrath of God, let us reach out, just like God is reaching out his hands to Israel, to all the people in our life who do not know the mercy of God, and call them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Let's be reaching out. Yes, there are people rejecting when we reach out, but there is an elect people, and they are being saved, and that can happen. We can see people right now in our lives that are headed for hell, suddenly coming to know Jesus, God awakening them, opening their eyes so that they can see the glory of Jesus. He will do that through our prayers, through our evangelism, through our witness. If we will just believe that it can happen enough so that we would actually reach out and tell people the message of Jesus Christ. Point number three, application number three. Look forward to the coming day when all Israel shall be saved. As we will see in the coming weeks, as we finish looking at Romans chapters 9 through 11. Application number three. Look forward to the coming day when all Israel shall be saved. As we will see in the coming weeks, as we finish looking at Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. There is a coming day when all Israel shall be saved. And between now and that day, there's time for many more Gentiles to come in and know Jesus, and even a few Jews into the church. Let us look forward to that day when Christ is coming back and all Israel shall be saved. Let us pray. Dear Father, we know this is a hard word. Father, looking at judgment, Father, the judgment of the Jews and the reality of hell, and your wrath and your punishment, and the fact that you harden the hearts of people who are not part of your elect, as we saw back in chapter 9, as we see again here, Father. But you do indeed love people. It is not just Paul's great sorrow and unceasing anguish that is demonstrated. It is also your great sorrow and unceasing anguish through the Spirit in Paul, Father. Help us to feel this painfulness, Father, and to want to see people come to know Jesus, and they can only come to know Jesus by repenting of their sins and trusting in him, Father. I pray that they would, that lots of people in our lives would, Father, and would avoid the terrible judgment that is coming. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.